And welcome to a very special Raw Talk here on M88. I don't know if you've heard, but there is this little thing called a presidential election going on. We're about a month out, a little less than that, from the big day. And I thought we would get a little crazy here on Raw Talk. There's two things that you're never supposed to talk about because people just get upset about it: religion and politics. Well, I'm just the crazy type of individual who thinks, well, why don't we just talk about both of them at the same time? And that's what we're going to do tonight here on Raw Talk. And I know you have an opinion when it comes to this issue of politics. Now, let me clarify. We're not talking about particular candidates here, all right? I'm not very much interested in who you are voting for. I'm more concerned with this whole idea of what is our interaction with politics to begin with. What is politics? What role should it have in our lives? What role should we have in it as Christians in participating in it? And what is the proper place of politics when it comes to the Christian life and to a nation? And so we're going to examine some of the bigger topics. So again, I know you all have your favorite candidates, but this is not that discussion. If you want that discussion, you tune into the presidential debates. We're examining some bigger issues on tonight's Raw Talk, but I know you have an opinion about these issues. So please do call in tonight, 505-338-5790. Joining me tonight, a fellow passionate person, Brian Dees. He does M88 Nights here at M88. And also has a lot of opinions when it comes to this issue of politics. Again, not necessarily about the candidates, but about just the issue in general and how we as Christians should interact with it. So thanks for joining me to rock the boat a little bit tonight.
Well, you know, I'm actually really excited about this topic. I'm excited to get into the Word. I'm excited to talk about this because it is such a hot – it's the hottest topic right now, bar none, in America. It's just, it's everywhere. It's all every 4 years. It's election and voting and candidates and blah, 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 and yelling and screaming, and people are fighting, and cats and dogs are raining, and it's just a crazy, rad time to talk about politics. So I'm really glad to be here, and thank you for the opportunity, my good buddy.
Well, let's start off by defining our terms real quick. What is politics? And that is something that a lot of people don't stop and think about leading up to an election.
Yes.
We all presume that we know what politics is. And I have to be honest, recently I've been going through the Truth Project put out by Focus on the Family. And basically, it's a Bible study that trains you to have a biblical worldview in everything, not just going to church, but to have, and that's really what it means to be a Christian. We should have a worldview that is filtered through the Bible in every aspect of our lives. There is no part of life that God has not spoken about in His Word, and that includes politics. And it was kind of an eye-opener for me to go through this and hear some of the ideas like, look, if you have a biblical worldview when it comes to politics, it's going to influence how you react to this whole issue. And one of the definitions that they shared for politics in the Truth Project is the science of government, that part of ethics which consists in the regulation and government of a nation or state for the preservation of its safety, peace, and prosperity, comprehending the defense of its existence and rights against foreign conquest or control, and the protection of its citizens in their rights with the preservation of an improvement of their morals. And that's from Webster's 1828 dictionary. And one of the things that stood out to me from that was, first of all, that it's the part of ethics, and that it's also concerned with the preservation and improvement of morals. Two things that don't seem to be coming up a lot in the current political climate that we're going through. What did you think of that definition when you heard that while we were watching and preparing for tonight's discussion?
Well, I think it's interesting that there's this idea that, like, oh, we need the government, and we need this established the state to, according to politics, according to that very definition, to define our morals. And we tend to, as a church, we go, okay, how can we use this for ministering to the body and pushing forward the kingdom of God? That's a good intention. However, I think sometimes we become so focused with things like legislation, we become so focused with on things like laws, and it infects our entire thinking when it comes to politics, and it becomes just so important that we legislate and that we use regulations and such to push our agenda forward, and we forget a couple things. We forget that God is on the throne. We forget that God appoints governments. We forget that we're subject to them to a point. And we forget that it's not about politics. our lives are not about politics. And every 4 years, we don't need to break down our lives and all become about politics. We need to stay about Jesus Christ. And I think the idea of forwarding a moral agenda through politics is something that is not going to work long term. It's just not. And it's not going to work personally in the lives of people. Unless people know and love Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him, nothing is going to change. And I think that ultimately you can legislate all you want, but you can't push that moral agenda, quote, forward unless you have a relationship with God. And the people who you want their hearts to change, they need to have a relationship with Jesus too. And we need to keep our eye on the ball. And I think in terms of politics, we haven't done a stellar job of that. So.
Well, let's get a little specific here. We've heard a lot about what this current election is all about. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, let's ask this question. What are we hoping to get out of this election, all right? What are you hoping to see as a result of this election? 505-338-5790. And again, I'm not concerned with, you know, well, I want to see this person get nominated and voted into office or that person. I'm not concerned about the person. What I'm concerned is, what are we hoping will be the result of it? Yeah. Beyond the person who's elected, what are we hoping to see in our nation, in our personal lives? What do you want to see happen with this election? Because that seems to have been one of the key focuses leading up to the election throughout the entire campaign. 505-338-5790, and share your opinion. Let us know, what is it that you're hoping to get out of this election? Because it'd be very interesting to hear that, because I'll be honest, I'm rather confused. I'm not entirely sure what I'm supposed to be getting out of this election, but I do have a few things that I know that I'm not supposed to get, but we'll get to that later. Now, Deez, what do you think what is this election about? What are we supposed to be thinking we're going to get out of this election?
I think that ultimately it comes down to, at least this is my take on when I look at the world and when I look at elections and politics, I think ultimately it comes down to one thing for almost everybody, and that's comfort. I think that we're so concerned with things that are important, you know, our family, our finances. Those are things to be concerned with. However, those are not the only thing we should be concerned with, you know. Our first priority in our lives is our relationship with God and sharing the good news with people. I think that ultimately elections come down to which candidate is going to help me be more comfortable. And ultimately, that's what I get on both sides of the aisle. You know, how is this going to benefit me? How is this going to make my life better if I vote for candidate A or candidate B?
But isn't that the point of an election? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it about, I want to vote a person that is going to best help me?
Yeah, it is about, but that's not what it should be about. That's what it is about, but I don't think that's a very biblical opinion of things. I don't think we're called that, but we've got a caller. So
we'll come back to that thought here in just a moment.
Excited to hear from the callers. So.
We have Ray on the line. Ray, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Ray?
Nothing much. Just calling in about the question you posed.
Sure.
Basically, what I'm concerned about and what I want out of this election is just my personal financial safety, and my personal safety as long with my spiritual safety. I don't want to be persecuted to be a Christian just because everyone else is Muslim or whatever. I mean, terrorism is terrorizing not just to my physical self, but to my spiritual self as well.
Okay, now let me ask you a question, Ray, and this is in no way to be antagonistic. This is just purely curiosity asking, okay? Why do you think the government, the state, can provide that?
Why do I think the government, the state, will provide that?
Yeah, why do you think that the government can provide those things that you just mentioned?
Because I think that our country is based off that. I mean, we wanted to get away from the King of England and from his prosecution of Protestants, so Protestants came over here. I mean, that's the whole reason why America really became America.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that should be one of the main reasons why we're still here, is to keep religion free and don't have to be worried about being persecuted about that sort of deal.
Now, do you see persecution of Christians being a huge issue in the current election and something that we should be really concerned about?
I'm sorry, but I didn't hear you.
Do you think persecution is really a huge issue in this current election, that depending on which candidate gets voted in, that could have a huge impact on our spiritual security?
No, I really don't. I think all that really is going on right now is just war on terror. You know, physical safety is a big deal, and the financial, with the financial market crashing as is a very big deal as well.
Now,
so, I really don't think they care or have really big issues on the spiritual side of anything, what our forefathers really cared about.
Well, Ray, thank you so much for calling in and sharing what you think we should be getting out of this election. I certainly appreciate you being brave enough to share your opinion.
All right. Thank you, bud.
You bet. Have a good night, Ray. And if you'd like to share your thoughts on what do you think we're going to get out of this election? What is the point of this election? What do you hope to get out of it? What do you hope to see happen after this election is over? 505-338-5790 if you would like to share your thought and opinion on that. And, you know, we were talking before Ray called in, you know, what the election is about. And then you were mentioning, well, it's not what it should be about. Well, what do you think it should be about, Brian?
That is a question for the greater good.
Let's start with you.
Okay, for me, I would love if there was a candidate on the ballot, not talking specific candidates, I'm not going to say names, but I would love if there was a candidate that said, hey, you know what? The God of the Bible is like my highest priority. I answer to God. God is like, God is first in my life. God is everything in my life. That is who I answer to before I answer to you, the people of America. And if that was like the case, I would be more stoked on being involved in politics this year.
Now, isn't that something that most people would not want to have because of the whole issue of separation of church and state?
Yeah, of course. Of course. They would absolutely. And there's certain elements out there that do not want God to have anything to do with government. And that's the direction that, frankly, as a country, we're going. And we're headed down that path. And it's going to take a lot to sway us the other way. But I definitely see that's the direction we're going.
You know, along those lines, thinking about a leader who is ultimately accountable to God, who mm-hmm. understands that his authority is delegated to them by God, who has an understanding yeah. of that. As I thought about that, I realized it wasn't really an issue of separation of church and state. That has nothing to do with the separation of church and state, unlike what some people might think, because it's just someone recognizing what their position is, mm-hmm. and it's not the church running the state, which yeah. is what that whole notion is concerned about.
Yeah.
To have a person in power who understands that their authority is delegated to them by God and that they are ultimately responsible to God mm-hmm. for their decisions is, I think, a good way for a government to run. In fact, I thought it was very interesting when you look at the history of Israel and when they wanted a king, it was this very issue that seemed to come up because what did Israel say? Do you remember when we were going through this? When Israel said that they wanted a king, why did they want a king?
They wanted something they could see. They wanted something tangible. They wanted somebody that they could answer to directly because, honestly, we can't see God. We don't have the physical manifestation of God at this point. Obviously, the disciples and people did when Jesus was here. But we don't have that physical manifestation of God. And before Jesus came, it was the same way. And they wanted that physical representation, that tangible thing, that, quote, real thing that they could grasp and talk to and relate to. And that's what they desperately wanted. And ultimately, God gave them that. And ultimately, they found out that's not what they wanted.
Well, they said in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that they wanted a king to go out before them. They said, mm-hmm. We want a king to go out before us and fight our battles, which if you take a close look at that, it's very interesting because before this time, who was supposed to be going before them? God was going mm-hmm. before them. God was the one who was going to go. And he even used those terms and that the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard in Isaiah 52:12, and then in Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. This whole idea of God going before a nation, mm-hmm. you know, leading, guiding, and directing it is completely different from the idea of, oh, we have to keep the separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me one of the things that's happening in this election is very similar to what happened there in 1 Samuel. We are saying, well, we want this guy to go before us.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not he's ultimately responsible to God, that's not so much an issue anymore. And that, to me, is rather scary because someone who does not understand that there is a transcendent authority for what is moral and what is ethical, once you remove that and the decision of what's moral and ethical is made by the state, the power, then they're going to decide what's moral and ethical is what most benefits them. And
that's been the case for a long time. So I don't see that changing with the current political climate and the current candidates or anybody.
I think we're actually on a turning point on this election for that issue, but we'll come back to that. We have Christy on the line. Christy, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Christy?
Hey, I was just listening to what you guys had to say, and I was kind of thinking about it. It's a great question because I don't think that we're really thinking about, you know, the priorities of the candidates are focused on God. And I think one of my things is I want some financial stability for my children.
Mm-hmm,
I don't want to have to dip into resources that I didn't intend to dip into for them. I have two very young children. You know, and I think if we don't get a leader in office who's going to kind of settle down the whole financial world, it's going to be really, really hard for our kids to go to college, for them to buy homes, vehicles, everything that we take for granted sometimes, you know, and they're going to have to work harder, I think, than we have ever even imagined. And I think it's going to be, I just want someone in there, you know, I don't have a preference right now, I'm still on the fence, but I just want someone in there who's going to say, you know, we need to tackle this. This is, and I also think on that same note, that neither one of them, their priority is, you know, putting God first. And I don't want to offend anyone by saying that, but I think their priority right now is this financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to agree with Brian. I just wanted to comment on what he said about the road that we're headed down is that someday we will be persecuted as Christians, but I don't think that it will only be Christians that will be persecuted.
Right, yeah.
You know, separating church and state, I think it'll be, you know, many religions that will be persecuted. And I just wanted to comment on that because I thought he kind of hit the nail on the head there with that, because it just looks like, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, we need to focus on other things than religion.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your comments on what you hope to get out of this election, because I know a lot of people are thinking along the same lines, and I certainly appreciate you being brave enough to share your thoughts tonight.
Well, I appreciate you guys throwing it out there. It really got me to thinking, so I really appreciate it.
Well, that's the purpose of the show, so my job is done.
Mission accomplished.
Good night. You have a good evening, Christy.
Thanks, guys. You too. God bless.
All right.
You know, Brian, this whole issue of the economy is one of the number one issues that this election is focused on right now, and it is a very important issue. There's no denying that. In fact, 87% of voters right now say the economy is very important in how they're going to vote this fall.
Yeah.
So not to deny the fact that this is important. It is something that we should be concerned about. But let me read something out of Deuteronomy chapter 8 before we get to our next caller, Lindsay. And if you'd like to call in, what do you hope to get out of this election? What are you hoping is going to happen from this election? And how does that relate to us as Christians? 505-338-5790. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Starting in verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you out, brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my strength and my power have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. The reason I bring that up is because this whole issue of the economy I have found very fascinating. Very fascinating indeed, because it's basically come to the point where we're saying the government is responsible for my prosperity or lack thereof.
Instead of God.
Right.
And I think that that's something that has really – I think it's obviously a burden for people, the economy. It's a burden for people. They want to know they're safe. They want to know they're going to be secure. But instead of relying on God, it's very easy for us – and this might sound naive of me or whatever, but it's very, very easy of us for us to just grab hold of and cling to government and depend so much on government as opposed to depending and clinging 100% fully on God. And I think that's definitely another slope that we're fully headed down, is in not only getting rid of our dependence on God, but a complete dependence on government. And that is kind of a scary thing. So.
Yeah, and actually I want to touch on that more here in a moment. But first we have Lindsay on the line. Lindsay, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Lindsay?
Hey.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Well, it's a really interesting question that you guys pose, and I was kind of listening from the beginning of the show, and I think it was Ray, the first caller that you guys had in, and I just thought it was really interesting that he had kind of said, you know, we as Christians, or I mean, he is a Christian, like he's, you know, concerned about his financial and spiritual just well-being. And what we have to remember is that, you know, Jesus told us that we should not be surprised when we are persecuted. And not only that, I think that it's so hard for us as Americans to kind of wrap our minds around this idea that that we may not be guaranteed prosperity, and we shouldn't be surprised if necessarily that's taken away from us. And in Matthew, I think it's in Matthew 6, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And that's potentially where maybe we as Americans have kind of fallen off the road. And in essence, we have kind of fallen away from seeking the Lord first and praying. And I hope that this, just kind of the strife that's going on with the election, would cause people to get on their knees before the Lord and start praying and saying, "Lord, you are the only one that can bring revival to our nation and to the world." And he can do it, but at the same time, biblical prophecy does teach us that we shouldn't be surprised that all this stuff is coming down the pike. So,
yeah, all very, very good points, especially the idea of who are we really relying on. And I think for me, I'm just going to say it right now at this point in the program, that seems to be the number one issue of this election that I disagree with. Doesn't matter the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying one candidate or other. I'm just saying this election in principle has come to the point where we want to rely on government to take care of our needs as opposed to relying on God. We want to rely on the power of our vote to change things more than the power of prayer. And that, in principle, is one of the reasons why this election has disturbed me so much. And it has nothing to do with either candidate. It just has to do with people, what people are expecting out of this election.
Exactly.
I think that it was, I'm sorry to cut you off there, Lindsay. when I was watching the not the debates, what is the thing called? I can't
even. Town hall meeting?
No. Before that, the convention.
Oh.
Well, I was watching one of the conventions. I won't say the name of the candidate, but I saw people, like, the candidate was talking and they were like raising their hands and they were crying and they were like hugging each other, and I literally saw like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, dozens. I can't even talk anymore. I can't even say it because I said it as a dozen times. I saw dozens of people just crying and bawling, and it almost to me was like an act of worship and an act of, oh my gosh, this person is going to save us. I think it was Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader. This is really, you know, controversial, but he said, you know, this candidate is the Messiah. Like, I see this candidate as the Messiah. And I remember listening to that and thinking, wow, that is so apropos for this election, with people putting their hope, their faith, and their trust in a person, as opposed to, as Lindsay and you mentioned, and we talked about this at the end of the last time we talked about politics, getting on our knees in prayer before the Lord and asking for a candidate that loves him. And I think even more important than that, asking God to give us comfort, to give us rest, and to give us the power to live our lives regardless of who is the candidate, and continue to pursue after God with everything we have, regardless of who wins the election and who is the next president.
Yeah, and I think that a large part of that is that we should embrace the fact that we as Christians may potentially suffer, because that means that we get to share in Christ's sufferings, and there is no way that we could even imagine the fact that we would be martyred for our faith. But that should not be something that necessarily scares us, because that means that we get to meet our Lord face to face, and as Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that is so exciting, and praise the Lord that we get to live, that we are placed on this earth for such a time as this. And I just encourage everyone out there just to continue to seek the Lord and get down on your knees first and foremost. And it's that simple. I mean, God is so powerful, and he desires to have a personal relationship with us, And he hears us, and he is faithful to speak into our lives, and he's faithful to guide. So,
well, Lindsay, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your opinion.
Yes.
I appreciate you calling in. And if you'd like to call in like Lindsay, what do you hope to get out of this election? What exactly are we hoping is going to be the result of it? Not, you know, who's going to get nominated and who's going to get voted into the presidency. What do we want to see happen? What are we hoping will be the result that will affect our nation, that will affect our communities, that will affect our lives as a result of this election? Because that seems more than the candidates to be what people are focused on, that something fundamentally is going to change. And that is what has me most worried about this particular election. It's interesting, the philosopher Hegel once said that when a society rejects God, it will increasingly look for someone else to save them. That savior
apropos
often becomes the king or the president, dare we say, and it seems that we are in that very position.
Can I throw something in there really quick? It kind of touches on what Lindsay and you were just talking about. When you said that, you know, the church... This is something that has been throughout history. The church absolutely thrives under persecution, and it completely explodes. And should we as Christians, as the Christian church, the American church, be persecuted, we should be rejoicing because ultimately more people are going to come to know Jesus through that and through our persecution. And it's not necessarily going to be comfortable. It's not necessarily going to give us happiness or peace. Well, not peace, but happiness or good fluffy feelings and happy times. But ultimately, like, it's going to be awesome for the kingdom of God.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to share an opinion, what do you hope to get out of this election? What exactly is it that we want to have happen after this election is over? Because for me, that's the number one concern, because I think, and I'm going to toss this out, and I dare you to contradict me. That's the point of having this conversation.
Yes.
I think what we want is absolutely inachievable through the means of electing someone to the presidency.
Amen.
And that is why I wanted to have this conversation. 505-338-5790, if you'd like to join in as I stir the pot a little bit. We have Caitlin on the line. Caitlin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Caitlin?
Hi.
Hi.
I really like this conversation. I've had a bunch of political versus religious conversations with several Christians lately. I myself am only 17, so I can't vote in this election.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been trying to pay close attention. Being on a college campus, it's kind of in your face.
Yes,
yes.
I remember those days.
One of my big things is I've been paying attention to a lot of, like, foreign policy. And just biblically, it's interesting for me to study, like, you know, end times. And it's interesting to see a couple things foreign, like, across seas lining up for that. And our country being such a, like, a power in the world right now, it's interesting to me to pay attention to where that's going to head and trying to figure out, you know, of course, there's no way and it's all God's timing, but that's something that's really important to me, to not anger the wrong countries and just because we could, it's foretold that people are going to be prosecuted in those times. And that's just something that's been really important to me is, like, the foreign policy that they're putting into place.
And that seems to be a particular issue that hasn't been very much talked about in this particular election. Again, going back to the fact that I think people want unrealistic expectations as the result of this election, insofar as having the state be the savior to provide all that we want and take care of us and comfort us and all those things that necessarily we shouldn't turn to the state for. But I agree with you. When it comes to foreign policy, well, that is certainly part of the reason why we want to have a strong government and a strong leader to help us with that. And, you know, Caitlin, you bring up something interesting. You said you had a lot of conversations about religion and politics. And let me ask, in those conversations, are religion and politics partners, or are they generally antitheses of each other? Are they antithetical, like they can't be together?
I definitely think that's based on who you're talking to. Because the conversations I've had with other Christians and other believers, they're usually put together, and a lot of people have been basing their politics off of what they believe in. But if I talk to someone who isn't a believer, then they just get mad at me for even trying to bring it up.
Mm.
So I definitely think that's based on where your standpoint in where your standpoint is to begin with before the election comes into it.
That's very interesting that you mentioned that, Caitlin. Again, going through the Truth Project, they mentioned that a Frenchman who was visiting the United States soon after its formation as a nation was making some observations about America as a nation, as a country. And one of the things that this guy... Alexis Tocqueville, that's probably not correct, so I don't speak French, but he said, religion should therefore be considered as the first of their political institutions. From the start, politics and religion have agreed and have not ceased to do so. And this was what he was talking about when it came to democracy in America. And I thought it was very fascinating that at the start of this nation, an outsider would make that observation, and that here we are, you know, about 200 years later, and an outsider observing the nation probably wouldn't be able to say that. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was a little confused about what I should do at that point. I had a little brain falling apart. I think that it's – I think I just forgot what I was going
to
say. I
completely
just forgot it, so we'll come
back
to that later.
Caitlin, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. 505-338-5790. You're listening to Raw Talk. I'm your host, Yo. Brian D is joining me, who has just had his train of thought.
I remembered. Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a moment. 505-338-5790. What we're talking about is, what do you hope to get out of this election? Not who do you hope gets voted in,
yes,
but what do you hope will be the result of this election? Because I think our expectations as a nation... not, you know, talking necessarily church, although that's included in that in some particular points, are absolutely unrealistic, that we have that we no longer have a good concept of what the state is supposed to do for us, what their sphere of authority is, mm-hmm. and how far it extends. And it seems that particularly in this election, we want the sphere of authority for the state to extend far beyond what it should, because we want to turn to the state to be the one that saves us and comforts us in difficult times. And now that your train of thought is reboarded, what do you want to say there, Brian?
Well, it's interesting how we're talking so much about trying to separate church from politics. There's just kind of been a resurgence in terms of bringing Christians back into the fold and bringing religion. That's kind of how it's labeled, bringing religion. You know, let's get the religious vote. I've seen at almost every speech during both conventions, every single person said, God bless America, you know, after putting their candidate up, who is the savior, apparently. And it all, they're trying to get religion back into politics in kind of this weird, almost an unspoken, undefined kind of way. And they're trying to figure that out. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But they are trying to get the political or the religious vote back into politics. So
we have Greg on the line. Greg, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Greg?
What's going on, guys?
Don't know. You tell me.
Well, basically, you guys have been asking, you know, what we hope to get out of this election. And basically, I have a couple points. One is, in the Bible, it talks about how God's going to select the future leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that applies to, the, you know, leaders of our country. And I think that we need to rely that, you know, when someone gets to office, that we can rely that God put them there for a reason. That being said, like, I want people to put, whether you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, whoever you voted for, to put all that aside and just know that we all have something in common, and that's we're all Americans. And I think that once they kind of put their differences aside in terms of that and start working as a team, that we can start to grow as a nation again. And I think it's a big deal because right now I think, you know, we're divided, and divided we fall. And it seems like every 4 years, you know, mm-hmm. there are certain friends that I have that I associate with that I feel like we almost grow apart as friends, and that may speak for the relationship that I have with them. But just because of who we vote for, who we support, and I just think that we need to put all those differences aside and be like, you know, hey, we're Americans, and we can support a great nation, and we can accomplish so much more. And so that's what I hope to get out of this election, regardless of who gets voted into office. I hope that once it's done, that we can all work to get over this hump, and we can, you know, we can join arms and, I don't know, go out there and just improve the country.
So.
Well, Greg, you made an interesting point insofar as, you know, that the Bible talks about how it is he who places the authorities of nations, so on and so forth. Very, very true. And the question is, do we really believe that what the Bible says is really real? Because I've heard a lot of times, particularly in the church, where people who pray, you know, God, we know that you place in authority rulers and leaders. And so we pray that your will be done in this election. And then right immediately after that, they say, but even if that isn't, you know, we pray that we can do the best that we can with whatever happens. Which, to me, was like, do you realize that was absolutely self-contradictory? You say that I know that you are the one who places leaders, but even if the one that you want doesn't get placed, we pray that you either really believe that or you don't. And if you really believe that, then regardless of who's elected into office, then you believe that that is the one that was placed into that position at the right time according to God's sovereign plan for his purposes, regardless of whether or not their particular ideals match up with your own.
And do you? And we really should pray. And we shouldn't just give a lip service and say, well, the person I didn't want is going to get elected, so I'm going to pray for them. And we really should pray for them. We shouldn't just give a lip service and say, hey, I'm going to pray for them and not do it. We really should, and we should do it constantly, regardless of who wins. And I think Greg nailed something that's really hit home for me in this conversation, is that it does, it becomes so divisive. I've had relationships strained with my friends, with my family, with my family, with my coworkers, with people that are strangers, with people
with
that are acquaintances, with this guy right here, with it's just strange relationships, and people just attack each other, and just it's so divisive, and every 4 years it really hits a fever pitch. But you can talk politics anytime and just get in a crazy fight about it with anybody, and I think everybody goes through that, where you have strains that are on your relationships because of politics. And I think that's something in my life that has been really troubling and really detrimental to both my view of politics and my participation in politics.
The participation in politics. Mm-hmm. You're going to open up a whole other can of worms with that.
I know.
Greg, we have some more callers hanging on the line. So thanks so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Hey, take care of you.
All right, have a good night.
Thanks, Greg.
505-338-5790 to call in and share. What do you hope to get out of this election? Are we do we have realistic expectations for this election, or are we hoping that government is going to provide something for us that it really shouldn't and that should be provided to us by God? And if that's the case, then what exactly is this election turning into? Idolatry?
Oh, did I just go there?
You went there.
Oh,
and
you took pictures.
Let me be very clear. No one here is saying that you should not vote. Absolutely, you should vote. The issue is, what is your motivation behind participating in the political process? Again, going back to, what do you hope the government's going to provide? If you're hoping that they're going to provide something that should be provided by God, then perhaps you're placing a wrong emphasis on the political process. But if you're doing it because you, as a citizen, know that you have a right and an ability and effect on how this nation is governed, and that you want to see the best qualified person to lead this government because they understand that their authority is delegated by God, well, then you are absolutely doing exactly what your patriotic duty was meant to be, as provided by the founding fathers of this nation. Was that a good speech?
Yes, that was a good I'm going to vote for you now.
Was that recorded?
Goodness gracious.
That's good stuff. We have Pete on the line. Pete, welcome to Rod Talk. What do you have to say, Pete?
Hey, thank you, guys. You know, I got 2 points to make. I'll make them. I'm driving El Paso. Hopefully I don't lose you guys. But
yeah.
I'm a bit older than your regular audience, like in my early 40s. But, I mean, that makes no division. Me and my son, we love the same things. And yeah. The passion I get is when I stand before my Jesus, I got to vote. I mean, the one thing, I can tell him I voted against the economy and everything else and foreign policy, but I can't say I voted for abortion.
Yeah.
And so that's where my vote lies with the pro-life candidate. But the other thing I say is, we are in such a mess as a country because we're not doing the things that God told us to do independently. You know, we think we're going to bail ourselves out with giving more credit so people can borrow more money. When the Bible tells us to owe no man anything, give respect where respect is due, and we need to be out of debt. The whole thing about giving everybody money back from our taxes is, don't go out and buy things and give a short-term fix. Go pay your debts off, and as the country pays their debts off, we will be financially secure and free from that slavery, financial slavery, and we can to give more. We can do things more. If we do that as Christians, how much more will we? We won't have to worry when the market crashes because our financial security is in that simple thing God told us to do,
yeah.
is pay those debts that we have and give abundantly.
You know, Pete, you make excellent points, especially on the economic factor of it, because anyone who knows anything about the economy, they understand that the economy is cyclical, that it naturally goes through up and downs, and to have a desire for the government to defy statistical law and mathematical probabilities and absolutely change around the fundamental natural laws of mathematics and economics is absolutely unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with spirituality. That's just fundamental math and statistical analysis.
Been, yeah.
But the other point that you make, so far as the abortion issue, and I'm not going to get into that issue because, again, this isn't about issues. This is about bigger things. And the reason I bring it up is because are we saying that we're voting for someone who is pro-life because for them it's politically expedient, or because they understand that there is a transcendent moral law that we are all responsible to, that there is someone outside of ourselves who decides what is moral and ethical, and that includes the sanctity of life, or that this particular candidate at this time when it's most expedient has decided, well, this is right, but when they get to the position that they want and that's no longer something that most benefits them, they could change what they think is right. And for me, mm-hmm. you know, that becomes a big issue. I understand abortion is a very important issue, but the issue is, well, why do they think it's right or wrong?
Yeah.
Because that is what is popular? Because that is what is the majority? That doesn't matter, because there's a transcendent God who decides what is right and wrong. And when we forget that, then right and wrong, as we've seen in our country, becomes relative. Thanks for making some great points, Pete. We got some more callers, so we're going to move on, all right?
Thank you guys very much.
All right, have a good night. 505-338-5790. We're talking about, what do you hope to get out of this election? Are our expectations for this election realistic? That has been my main concern leading up to the vote coming in November, that we are perhaps putting more expectations on the outcome of this election than we realistically can. And the dangers of that, to me, are much more problematic than having the quote-unquote wrong candidate elected into office.
And I don't know if we're going to talk on this later. Maybe we can. I'm sure we will. But the phrase, you know, this is the most important election of our lifetime. This is the most important election
I do want to
we've
touch
ever
on that.
Seen. Do we want to wait and hit on that later?
Yeah, I got some points I want to make on that. Because, yes, that
I do want to bring that up because that's something we hear often.
That has been tossed around a lot.
A ton.
And
yeah.
I do want to touch on that. We have Gordon on the line right now. Gordon, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Gordon?
I think we do have expectations of this election, but I think they're misplaced.
Mm.
If you notice, the candidates say, well, I know how to solve the Social Security problem. I've got a plan, but they never tell us what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they build up our expectations it'll be resolved. But the problems are too big, too big for them to resolve. And I think our expectations as Christians should be that we're going to need to pray.
Mm, yeah.
We need to pray that God will give whoever is elected some wisdom to resolve some of the problems. Or, if we feel like prophecy is being fulfilled, we need to pray that prophecy be fulfilled.
Mm.
You know, whichever way it seems to go.
Yeah.
But in that instance, we are putting our expectations on the results on God and not on the person that we elect.
Right.
Which is, I absolutely agree, is the fundamental problem that I've seen in this election.
Plus, Gordon, you said, I love what you said. You said that it's too much to put on one person. You know, it's too much to put on one person. It's too big for one person to solve. And we need to remember that it's not too big for God to solve. It's really easy to get in the mindset of, like you mentioned, you know, this is way too big of an issue. This, you know, this person is going to solve this problem. And we do need to realize that, hey, that's an unrealistic expectation. However, here's an alternative. We serve a God that's easily big enough to solve any of those problems, you know. So I think you raised some great points there, Gordon, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Gordon. I appreciate you sharing your perspective on that. Now, you brought up some excellent points.
Well, you have a good night.
You too.
You too, Gordon.
505-338-5790. What are you hoping to get out of this election? Because that, more than what the candidates represent, I think, is what this election is about. What are we hoping to get out of this election? And are those hopes, are those ideas realistic? We've heard the phrase that this is the most important election in our nation's history. Now, I've heard that phrase tossed around quite a bit And I've not really understood what other people have meant by it, but only just recently has started to dawn on me why I think it's true, and it's not for the same reasons that I think other people think it's true. But, you know, how do you respond to that, Deez, when you hear people say, this is the most important election of all time?
I don't even know how to answer that. I hear that so much. I've heard it on the radio. I've heard it on, from the pulpit, and it's just constant. It's, this is the most important election of all time. And you know what? You could say that about every election and every election after that until Jesus comes back. You really could, and that's the way it's going to be. The world is going to is becoming more complex. It's becoming more busy. Technology is exploding. We have resources that are dwindling, whether we like it or not. And ultimately, you know what? That is kind of a silly thing to say because every election is going to be the most important election of our lifetime.
They said it four years ago.
Yeah, they say it all the time. They, you know what? And we say, well, we're in the end times, and this is the most important election. You know what? Paul said, hey, we're in the end times.
But, you know, I think it's different this time, though. This time, I do think this is the most important election that we're facing, but it's not for the reason that everyone else is saying.
Hit me.
It goes back to the idea of what are we expecting to get out of this election. Okay. And I think that this particular election is going to be a turning point in our nation, again, not for the same reason that everyone else says. The Human Manifesto 2 says, no deity will save us. We must save ourselves. I think that's almost a theme for this particular election. Going back to Hegel, Hegel said, the universal is to be found in the state. The state is the divine idea as it exists on earth. We must therefore worship the state as the manifestation of the divine on earth and consider that if it is difficult to comprehend nature, it is harder to grasp the essence of the state. The state is the march of God through the world. This election is the most important election we face because this is the election where we as a nation are starting to turn to a person to be our hope, to a person to be our savior, to a government to be our provider, to a government to meet the needs that otherwise all those things should be met by God. And once we make that turn, once we round that corner, I don't know what's going to happen.
I think, honestly, I think we've already turned that. You know, like I think we are headed down that road, and I think that at this point, It's never too late for God. I think we've been headed down that path. I do agree that it's an unimportant election. However, I think we're far down the road of humanism, and it's basically government-endorsed humanism is what it is.
I think we've been on that corner. We've been looking around that corner. We've been kind of seeing what's on the other
this
side.
This is the deep end. This is where we drive off the cliff. We've kind of looked at it.
We say, it looks promising. I think there's good stuff on the other side. And then this election is the point at which we're ready to say, okay, let's go for it.
Yeah,
let's do that. Because it doesn't seem to be working, quote unquote, the other way. Let's try this. And I'm really very nervous what's going to happen if we actually do that. 505-338-5790. Still some time if you want to share. What do you hope to get out of this election? What exactly are our expectations for this election? And again, you know, I don't want anyone to think that me and Deez are being all hard on the government or the election or anything of that nature. Not at all. What I'm saying is we need to keep our expectations, A, realistic, and most importantly, B, biblical.
Amen.
Our expectations for the government, for the state, must be biblical. Get a load of this. Five attributes that marked Rome at its end. A mounting love of show and luxury.
Check.
An obsession with sex, including homosexuality.
Check.
Freakishness in the arts, masquerading as originality, and enthusiasm pretending to be creativity.
Check.
And finally, an increased desire to live off the state.
Wow, check.
Now, does that give anyone else a little bit of pause there as we go into this election? What exactly are we hoping to get out of this? Because I think our hopes and desires are a little askew. And that goes for Christians as well as for the mainstream. And I know that may seem harsh, but it's so easy for us to forget, as we mentioned earlier, with the whole economic issue. Mm-hmm. What did God say? Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, which is totally contradictory from, you know, what we seem to be saying in this election. Or Psalm 37:39, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in a time of trouble. Well, again, that doesn't seem to be what we are echoing in this election.
I have a verse that I was reading out of Acts before I came down here. It's Paul is preaching to the church, to Athens. He's not preaching to the church, but he's preaching in Athens, and he says, "The God who made the world." This is Acts 17:24. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by hands, and he's not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. God created all of this. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how it started, how it is, and how it's going to end. And we can take a lot of comfort in that. We can take a lot of comfort in knowing that God is huge and good and loves us and has a plan for our lives. And he created us in the womb, and he knows where we're going to live and where we're going to die. He knows all these things, and we can take so much comfort in just knowing who he is, you know?
505-338-5790. We have Joe on the line. Joe, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Joe?
Hi. You know, I agree with a lot of what you're saying as far as, you know, we're not to put faith in any individual or, you know, because that our faith is in the Lord. And and so basically the point I just want to make is that I don't expect anything from either candidate who wins the election and becomes our next president as far as what they can bring to me or provide to me. What I hope comes from the result of the election is that the state of the country doesn't worsen. That's about it. You know, I can't really see either candidate just, you know, coming in and just, you know, saving the country. I don't foresee that. Like I said, I just hope whoever is our next president, that somehow, whatever their leadership, I just hope that our country doesn't get worse. And like I said, I don't know if it's going to come from the next president or who, but I'm hoping in some way, shape, or form that the country just doesn't get worse.
You know, and I would have to say that's probably a fairly realistic expectation, depending on who you vote for and the policies they might enact. That's something that you can realistically expect out of this election, but that it doesn't seem to be the attitude of most voters this year, Joe. But thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that was very insightful. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good night, Joe. Yes. Well, we're just about out of time. Before we go, a couple more quotes that I wanted to share. This one blew me away, from John Adams. Yeah, the John Adams.
You know, the president.
Yeah.
Not the current president, former president John Adams.
John Adams says, "We have no government armed in power capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." I don't think any commentary is needed on that. I just found that really fascinating that John Adams would make that kind of statement about our Constitution and the government that they created for the ruling of this nation. And I'll leave the commentary up to you. And one other quote I want to share, Abraham Lincoln on a proclamation
also
for a national...
Also a former president.
Also a former president. Proclamation for a national day of fasting and... Fasting, humiliation, and prayer says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown." Sounds fairly contemporary so far. "But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness."
And that is why they call him Honest Abe. Because he got it.
And you know what? When I heard that quote, and again, as I was going through the Truth Project, I thought that is the statement of this election that should be ringing throughout our land more than anything else. Yes, the economy is in trouble, and we do need some wisdom and guidance in that. Mm. That could come from the president, as long as that president is seeking the same wisdom and guidance that they need from a higher authority, from the God of all the universe. Yes, we need help with health care, education, terrorism, and protecting our state. These are all important issues, and a president who understands their place and what they can and cannot do and the authority that they need to turn to in order to make wise decisions on ethics and morals, that could be very possible. But I don't see that type of expectation in this election. I see the expectation placed solely on a person.
And that seems to be the slope we've chosen to go down, and it's unfortunate. And I'm going to vote for Abraham Lincoln for president of the United States for a third term, or no, a second term, whatever, how many terms.
Any final thoughts before we wrap things up tonight as we talk about, and again, you know, no mistake, we are not anti-America. I love this nation. I love the fact I get to vote.
This land is your land.
Yeah, and I love the fact that we have a say in the role of our government. All I am warning people is perhaps where expectations are misplaced.
And I think that ultimately there's this phrase that is really popular now. It's, last time I came on Raw Talk, I said, hey, you know what, I'm probably not going to vote this year. And everyone kind of freaked out. And they said, well, you got to vote. You know, even if you just vote for the lesser of two evils. And I've heard that phrase constantly. I've heard it all over the place. And I don't want to vote for evil. Even if it's a lesser evil, if that means I need to abstain from voting, okay. If that means I need to vote for somebody that's not probably is not going to win the election, word. But I don't want to vote for something that is evil. Maybe people just need to rephrase it. But ultimately, you know what? If you feel called and you feel definitely pushed and encouraged by God to be involved in politics, be involved in politics. Go for it. If you don't, then don't. However, remember that ultimately we serve God. We don't serve men, and we don't need to elevate men to a position that is occupied by God. I fear that's what we're doing. I obviously love my country. I don't love the direction it's going. I love my God more than I love my country, though. And I think that as a people, as a church, I think it's important to be involved in politics if you're called to. And go for it, you know?
Studying recently some of the history of the founding of our nation, I have realized more than ever before how important it is for religion, Christianity, to be involved with politics. They were her partners at the start of our nation. They went hand in hand. Outsiders said they couldn't even conceive of the two being separate.
Well, for example, the major schools in this country, you have I think Harvard was founded specifically on teaching the Bible. You have all these major schools. I know Harvard was definitely one of them. I want to say Yale. Some of these other huge, massive schools were all built on American soil to teach people about God. And isn't it so apropos that we've gone completely 180 away from that, and now the education system, which is basically part of the government, has decided that, hey, you know what, we're going to take this entire institution of education and turn it almost against God. And that's very sad. However, I definitely feel like there's still hope as long as we as a church and as a people rely on God.
Psalm 33, verse 10, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chooses for his inheritance. And that is exactly why we can be a people of hope despite what may happen in an election. When our hope is placed on God, the fact that his plans are never thwarted, that his plans are never vetoed, that his plans never get bogged down in Congress, that his laws and principles rule over all, as long as we keep that primary in our thoughts and hearts and minds, then we are well equipped to go into election and to make a difference in our country. I'm excited about what's going to happen with this election. I don't have the doom and gloom view that a lot of people have when it comes to, we got to make sure we get the right person in there.
Doesn't matter.
I kind of think, well, I want the most qualified person there. I don't know what you mean by the quote-unquote right person. The most qualified, most definitely. And when I'm doing that, first and foremost, I'm going to make sure that I'm seeking God for all those needs that I can only get from Him. And I am not expecting the state to provide that for me, because the state is not my God. And that is especially true in this election. All we are saying is, please think about it. What are you hoping to get out of this election? What are you pinning on these people that we are electing? What are you placing your hope in? These candidates or the hand of God? What are you trusting in? The policies that these candidates plan to bring, or the plans of the Lord Almighty? And where do you find your comfort? In who you're going to vote for, or in the fact that prayer is powerful and far more powerful than any vote? Think about those issues, because they are so key leading into this election. Because if we don't think about them, we could be heading down, as we pointed out, a very slippery slope indeed. This election is indeed the most important election. It could be a key turning point in our nation, and we need to go into it with our eyes wide open instead of following along with the masses, which often happens in an election.
Amen, brother.
Well, Deez, thank you so much for hanging out with me and sharing your passions. We don't need to shake hands.
I wanted to shake hands. It's like very official. It brings closure to the situation.
We're not doing like a town hall meeting or a debate or something.
We can if you want. No. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's always a blessing to hop in here and talk with these things about you. I think they're important, and I think that God is awesome, and that should be our priority for the election. So.
Well, next week on Raw Talk, we're going to have our good friend Ron Rhodes back, and we're going to talk about commonly misunderstood Bible verses. Verses that a lot of people maybe don't have the best grasp on. We're going to hear from Ron Rhodes and why it's so important that we understand the Bible properly and how we can do that. So we're going to get a little biblical schooling next week on Raw Talk and take a break from the very passionate issue of politics. Again, register to vote. Go out and vote. Do your patriotic duty with the wisdom of God guiding you. And thanks so much for joining us here on a very fun Raw Talk on M88.